Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
The text is the one that I was given, which is part of the series of the first epistle of Peter. Chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
So, I'm going to put it there because it's going to drop off here. Supposed to switch this thing on.
That's right. Then.
Am I connected?
Yes, we're with you.
Well, some of you are. I still feel like singing, but I better not. I shall upset the people at the back. They'll be pounding the computer to try and find what I'm singing. Right. But my message to you tonight is the hope of the believer.
Amen.
Now, you never would have guessed that, would you, from all we've been singing and all that your pastor's been saying. But it is the hope of the believer. So it's more of an exhortation.
Amen.
So if you go out of here miserable tonight, then you're either not saved or you've been asleep. So let's hope that the Lord will do something. Father, we need you by your Holy Spirit tonight. We all do all things for you and through you and by you. And in you we live and have our being. So Lord, glorify your Son and your own self through the word that is brought. Amen.
Amen.
In this verse, Peter is intended to break open, blow open, even blast open, the greatest event in the Christian calendar.
Hallelujah.
The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. It is not only the whole of the church, universal, past and present, that he has transformed from a lost, wandering people in a lost world to be the pinnacle of his glory in the kingdom of heaven. It is also the personal experience of every believer who has accepted his invitation of salvation from sin, freedom from the shackles of this life, and knowing no way out of this world to the God who really cares. There is a way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To God.
Amen.
One day the church will be called home.
It
will. As Jesus came the first time, so he will come the second time. Each one of us who is qualified by the acceptance of Jesus as our sin bearer and Lord, has been washed in the blood which he gave at Calvary. For every one of us. And consequently, translating us from the dominion of Satan to the kingdom of God's own Son. Our hearts were changed spontaneously from spiritual darkness to light and into the everlasting glory and presence of their Savior Jesus. One moment of time, all that happened to each one of us when we accepted Jesus. From the moment we were saved, there was a deposit that was placed in our hearts. And that's called hope. And this hope is that one day we shall see face to face the one who has done so much for us.
Amen.
It is called the blessed hope of the believer. It is founded on the fact that we shall be with him forever because he alone has won the battle against this world, against Satan, against sin, against death, against the grave. He has conquered sin and death, and he gives us his promise that as he rose, so shall we rise and be with him in heaven forever. We will have finished, done with, believing this sick world and its ungodly ways forever to a world of everlasting peace, joy, love, contentment and happiness. This is the blessed hope of the believer. Wow, we'll finish there. That's good enough, that isn't it? But we have many great reasons to be filled with this hope. Our text started with therefore. Ha! Therefore. Which means, because of all that's gone on before in his writing, therefore. So we look at the things that he was saying. We are given many reasons in this, the previous verses. In verse 3 it says his abundant mercy. Friends, in this world we had no way out.
No.
We couldn't jump and reach into heaven. We couldn't fly. Not even a plane or a rocket. You'd never get there. We had no way of overcoming our problem of sin, our wrongdoings or failures. We had no way of reaching the great, mighty, holy God and please him. But as we seek him truthfully, he sees our heart.
Amen.
He has compassion. He loves the sinner. He sends his word, leading us to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is called mercy.
Hallelujah.
He comes to you and me. We had nothing to offer. What can we give God, who created the whole of the universe and everything in it? Nothing. But he has everything to give us. A prepared way. To as many received him, says John 1 and verse 12, that is Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Mercy. A sinner. Philip. No good. Blasphemer. Liar, cheat, thief, everything you want to be. And he says, not judgment for you, Philip. Mercy.
Hallelujah.
And I'll make you a son of God.
Amen.
This is mercy. In verse 3 it also says begotten. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He was eternally conceived There was no mother in heaven. He was eternally conceived. The eternal Son. He always has been part of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was with him from everlasting ages and was with God and was God. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God the Son, revealed to us in human flesh, as in verse 14 of John 1. He is the one who laid aside his glory when he saw what you and I would be like in the heaven, and came to make God known and available to all mankind. God sent his Son into the world that through him we can be saved. When we accept him, then we are called the sons of God. You know, Jesus called the Pharisees sons of Satan, sons of the devil, because they did the works of the devil. And so did we before we were saved. But now we receive Jesus, we are made immediately into the sons of God. We become God's children. We are then begotten of him, adopted sons, having the life of God within us. Hallelujah. That's good. I am Philip Baker because I have the life of my dad, Herbert Baker. But now I am a son of God because I have the life of God in me. And then verse 3, a living hope. Before Jesus was revealed to us, we had no hope in this world. There's so many people have no hope. You see them crying in tears, remorse, sadness. Help me, help me, help me. And there's that many people who want to be helping, the whole world can't help them anymore. You just can't get round to them all. Ours was to live and die, an aimless and hopeless existence. Nothing to look forward to beyond the day worth having. What a box. My dad used to say the pine box with a hole in the ground. Not much to look forward to, is it? Death is a poor rewarder, friends. But in salvation there is planted a living hope. It is not based on death, but on the everlasting life of our Saviour, who gave his life for us. Hallelujah. And he gave us a heart that is filled with a great anticipation of greater things than this world can offer. It is not a hope, as Pastor said, that is fanciful or made up. But it is alive, as the Lord Jesus is, in heaven and in our hearts. He who said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also. Wow. So much in so few words. Has put it within our hope. Within our hearts. We can hope for a nice holiday. We can hope to see a relative we haven't seen for a long time. We can even hope for good weather. Yeah. Even that. We could hope for all these things. But these pale into significance. Even the referendum, Lord help us. And I mean that. But they pale into insignificance with this hope of a home in heaven. One which endures for the everlasting ages to come. That's your hope. That's my hope. And then the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead is the basis of this hope. The grave has no hopes, only sorrows. It has no rewards, only losses. It offers no comfort, only tears. We can gain the world, but it cannot go with us. The grave is an empty place. Tutankhamun and the other pharaohs tried filling their tombs with treasures. And do you know, they even put grain in, some of them. Something to eat while they're on their journey. But when they opened the tombs, it was all still there. And just a pile of bones, sorry, no good to you. But for us, the grave of our Saviour was found to be empty.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No bones in that grave.
Nope. Amen.
It was a resting place for his body for 3 days and three nights. After 3.5 years of intense ministry and intense and agonizing suffering at the hands of Jews, Gentiles, and the religious orders of the day. But what a difference to the outcome. Heaven, when Jesus died and was buried, was looking down. God was still moving. The angel descended. The heroic stone was rolled away from the grave. What was seen? Nothing. Nobody. Hallelujah. You know, one of these days I'll wake you lot up. I don't know how I'll do it. Except a few tidily discarded grave cloths, which Jesus no longer needed. When he rose again, the soldiers were frightened. The women were perplexed. The earth trembled at the exit of the risen Lord. The angels watched inside as the women went to have a look. Can almost see them scratching their heads. Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead?
Amen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah.
The grave, friends, is no longer the final destination. For Jesus is alive, risen from the grave, cancelling death's hold. No dust to dust, no ashes to ashes, but the doorway to a new beginning.
Amen.
We go to our rest with a great hope in our hearts. As he is risen, so too shall we rise.
Hallelujah.
The whole of the New Testament is based on that great fact. The Son of God, after bearing our sins on the cross, died, was buried, and rose again from the dead.
Hallelujah.
There's many creeds. I knew the Nicene, I still knew it, the Nicene Creed off by heart. But they all contain those three basic fundamentals.
That's right.
Our hope is a living hope. Hallelujah. And this hope gives a vision of what is to come. It says in verse 4, an imperishable inheritance. Well, an imperishable inheritance. Therefore, yeah. What do we inherit? Jesus says we inherit eternal life. John 10 and 28, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I tell you, there's one thing accepting Christ. When you do, he says, follow me. And then he says, listen.
Right.
And as you follow, he gives you eternal life.
Amen.
I give them eternal life. We inherit the greatest gift that heaven affords. All of Jesus, all he is, and all he has.
Amen.
In our reading in Colossians 1, to them God will to be made known what are the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He not only has a home prepared for each of us, but all the resources that are ever going to be needed are to be found in Him.
Amen.
He never offers us money. Not that sort of riches. But all the resources are to be found in Him.
Hallelujah.
All these riches, the natural gains of this world, will have passed away. The worldly systems in heaven will have gone. And a new age of abundant provision through God, of God through Christ Jesus, will be our portion through the ages to come. And that is why He said, lay up for yourselves treasure, riches in heaven. Treasures in heaven, riches in heaven. The greatest gift that we will ever be and ever have is Jesus Himself.
Amen.
For in Him we have peace, joy, contentment, life that never ceases, years that never cause us to age or wrinkle. You won't need face cream in heaven, ladies. The men are not so bothered. None of these things that Jesus gives will ever diminish or be stolen or taken away.
Hallelujah.
No wonder the songwriter sang. You're all waiting, aren't you? I am contented with Jesus. I am contented with Him. Daily He helps me my burdens to bear. Happy, for He dwells within. I am contented with Jesus. He's by my side every day. In sunshine or rain, He's always the same. I am contented with Him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, I'm not a singer. But you know when I sing that? I am contented.
Amen.
With Jesus, I need nothing else. I have all things in Jesus. Cool, you could have sang it with me and give me a little bit of pity. One day, as I said, I will wake you up. Or God will, I hope. Some say that we have as much in Jesus in heaven as we have of Him now. Half truth, but not true. I believe that we have of Jesus here, even if we call as much as we cause Him to dwell in our hearts as much as we can take, that will only be a portion of what's going to be revealed to us when we enter our eternal abode. Don't ever diminish God. But then there is an inheritance of sonship. We share all that Christ has gained. Romans 8, verses 16 to 17. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. What a revelation.
Indeed.
It's not something that we think about very often. Jesus has such a great heart that all that was gained through his sufferings and victories of Calvary and the resurrection, He don't keep to Himself. That's not for me, He's saying. That's for all those that are died for. He shares it with all His saints, His followers who have trusted Him in the here and now.
Amen.
Friends, joint heirs with Christ.
Hallelujah.
You've got an inheritance waiting.
Amen.
I have. Now in this life, if there's five children in a family and the parents die, it's normal that the five children have a fifth each. It's a diminished amount. In heaven, we are heirs of God.
Hallelujah.
Ah. God is infinite. God is eternal. With God, there is no end. God is the creator. He's continuously creating. Even now creating. The universe is bursting its seams and still going out even faster than light. He's got a full inheritance for each one.
Okay.
Not a fifth, not a thousandth, not a 10 millionth or a 10 billionth. A whole inheritance for each one of us. Joint heirs with Christ.
Yes.
Ha! I don't even know where I am now. There is more than enough for all of us because of his abundant supply. If we can have in this life, as Jesus said, pressed down, shaken together, and running over of the blessings of God through his Holy Spirit. Now, and we have that now, how much more in our heavenly inheritance when there is no longer any restriction of faith? We shall have everything. God will pile stuff. Let me be honest with you. God cannot wait for us to be with him. He doesn't want to wait. He has to because he's got a plan. But he wants to bless you in eternity more than you can ever imagine.
Amen.
With inheritances, piles of it, lands and houses and goodness knows what. I don't know. That's all conjecture. It's not real. But just more than you can just imagine. We must never underestimate the benevolence of our God towards his children. However, it still blows the mind to think that we share in all that Jesus has.
Amen.
That we are really the sons of the living God.
Amen.
And so humbling to think that Jesus calls us brethren.
Amen.
Do you know, it almost, I almost think, you forgive me for saying this, almost think it's blasphemy to say that Jesus is my brother. Well, he said, I'm his brother. that feels a bit better. But as he is a son, we are sons. Sorry, women, you're all sons in heaven. There's equality for you. Yeah. Wow. But in Hebrews 2 and verse 11, that's what was revealed that Jesus said for his brethren. Compare this with what Jesus said to the women who ran from the empty tomb to tell the disciples, hey, he's not there. There's nobody there. He said, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren. Some people said they were never saved before Pentecost or before all the rest of it. Rubbish. They were brethren then. And that was Matthew 28 and verse 10. Does that not make you think of our inherited place in heaven? Our position. We are truly being made day by day into the image of Jesus, being made more like him every day. I think that's a miracle. I do for my own personal self. It is a miracle. I have to accept the word. But sometimes I think, you're not holy. Anyway, that's another story. We will never be identical to him, for he is God the Son. He will always be the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He'll always be all those words in Isaiah 6 and Isaiah 9.
Amen.
the mighty God. He is always the Redeemer and Savior. He will always be the Lamb of God who for eternity bears the marks of Calvary. But to what can you compare such love and devotion to his disciples and to us? For all this we will have to suffer, being the sons of God and having an inheritance with him for a little while. We have to have this world purged out of us, ready for a world that's got no room for the wickedness here. And we have to overcome as he has. And his strength in us is sufficient to bring us through to victory. It seems so little compared to what is waiting for us. But it is Christ in us, or Christ in you, as he said, the hope of glory. But our hope is invested in the return of our Saviour. In verse 13, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are always exhorted to be looking for Jesus' return. I think in a day, an age like we're living in, it's not very difficult to hope that Jesus will come today and get us out. Titus 2 and verse 13, it says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You know, there are, I did read, I think, about 270 different references in the New Testament alone to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. But we're not going to look at these tonight. Otherwise, you'll all be like Paul and Paul's congregation falling asleep. But the knowledge that he is returning for us is a comfort to us all. Paul wrote for the Thessalonians, and he only had one ambition for his ministry, and that's to bless them. Amen. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Wow. That's the ministry.
Amen.
Of all of them, whichever one of the five ministry gifts, that was their whole objective, was that their congregation, the people that they were teaching, would receive the word of God, receive more of Christ, receive more change. That they will be in the presence of Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Wow. Many of us need assurance. Many of them needed assurance. As Paul wrote in Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 to 18. To all those who were sorrowing. What about all them that have already died? What are you worried about them for? It's enough for you to worry about yourself today. God's taking care of them. But Paul sent to comfort them in verse 18. And told them that those who died believing in the Lord Jesus, and those alive at his return would be all translated in a moment of time together to meet the Lord in the air.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wow. Up they are come. Changed we go. And we all go together.
Amen.
To meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We can rise because Jesus tells us to come, to rise. You'll have a fraction of a second to hear the trumpet call, the blast. You'll hear the shout, come hither, like he shouted to Lazarus in the grave. And that word will be heard all over the world, in day and night, east and west, north and south. And he gives us spiritual bodies. I'm not going through that. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 54. And we can rise because we shall have changed bodies with incorruptible and immortal bodies. I don't know how many years I've got left. But shall I tell you something? I don't really care. It can be tomorrow. It can be when I'm 100. I don't mind. My life's in his hands, not in mine. Jesus will appear with a shout like a voice, with a voice of an archangel. There'll be a trumpet blast and we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye and bear the image, as it says in verse 49, of the heavenly man. Gone will be the perishing in the twinkling of eye and bear the image of that heavenly man. Gone will be the perishing old body with its problems and limitations. And one, you will be like Jesus. What a hope. Ain't that a hope? In 1 John and 3, verse 2 and 3, when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him, in this hope in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. We want to be holy like he is holy. We want to be as like him as we possibly can at that moment when he comes. Jesus fulfills his promise. John 14. I'm looking at my clock. Come on. I've got a clock here. I'm going to buy one for you. For this church up there. It's a lot easier for me, if not for you. Jesus fulfills his promise. I will come again and receive you to myself. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the final seeing of him on whom we have believed on by faith since we were saved. That's the revelation. And we have a ministry to be revealed, and I will cut this down. We are the sons of God and we will be revealed. Romans 8 verses 18 to 21. The whole of creation is eagerly waiting for the revelation of the sons of God, the revealing of the sons of God. And it's waiting. What is creation waiting for? It's waiting for the glorious liberty of the children of God. The whole of creation is waiting for you and me to be seen as we really are, as God intends and God wants, and God is going to make us. The liberty of the children of God. We might think ourselves inferior beings. We were made lower than angels. And so was Jesus, so that he could suffer and die. But being victorious and having done the will of God, he returned to heaven to sit at his right hand and glorified with the glory he had with the Father before the beginning. And we, who were made lower than angels, share the status, same status in Jesus, we could never have dreamed of. Exalted to be like him and be the sons of God. Revelation 20 says we will sit and reign with him 1,000 years. We shall be on thrones. He's on the throne, but we shall have thrones. Better than the one you're sitting on tonight. And reign with him forever and ever. Have we not been made kings and priests unto God? Will we not also judge the world and angels? 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 and 3. Therefore, we not only share his sonship, but we share in his future glory also and ministry. We not only do his works now, but in our inheritance as the children of God in the world to come with great honor and privilege. We seat with him, rule with him, reign with him, command angels who now look at us with open minds. They could never understand the purpose of God, and they're looking and say, look what he's done to Philip. That is a revelation. We may not appear to much to the people of earth today, but friends, the glory that is hidden within us will one day be revealed. It will burst out of us like it did out of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he shone brighter than the sun itself. We shall shine like stars in the heaven, like Daniel. And so will come true Jesus' words in Matthew 5 and verse 5. The meek will inherit the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. We are found meek today, but glorious tomorrow. The worldly system is reversed by God in his kingdom ways for kingdom people. This is part of your hope in Jesus. But inheritance is for the faithful in service. Colossians 3, whatever you do, do heartily unto the Lord, not man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive from the Lord the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we do, friends, we don't just do, say, for pastor or for the leader or for the preacher or for anybody else. We do it, yes, for them, but we do it firstly for Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's asked us to do it. We think our efforts are sometimes feeble and hope they're pleasing to God. But friends, they're going to be rewarded, an inheritance for us. Revelation 22, behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work. Friends, we're not laboring in vain. In that we may differ one from another in what we do. But our reward, friends, is not for what we do and what he has given us to do, whether 1 talent, 2 talent, 5 talent, 10 talent. It is being faithful in what you have been given to do. That is your reward. The disciples asked Jesus in John 6, what shall we do that we may do the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. Wow.
Amen.
That is the greatest thing that we can do. Without me you can do nothing, he said, but through him we can do all things. And now, and finishing, all we have is freely given to us. Grace. In verse 13, no need for reminders here. We were saved by grace, not by works. Our giftings, even, we've nothing to be proud of. If I can teach, it's not a thing to be proud of. I was given it. When I was in the world, I wasn't a preacher or a teacher of the gospel. What we have been given. We didn't earn our salvation. And when we work for him, authority is in my name, you shall do these things. All power by his Spirit. Power to serve. Power to live. Power to die. Power to overcome. Power to be victorious. Power to rise again. a power to have eternal life, power to have inheritance, power to be the sons of God, power to reign, power to rule, power to love, power to be changed. And it's all our inheritance in Christ. All these things are in our hope. Let no man think he has something to be proud of better than another. But let every man think that everybody is better than himself. That's humility. All our hopes, aspirations, visions of seeing him, spending eternity worshipping and serving him, are all invested in Jesus himself. The land of hope and glory is not England, a place of green, the pleasant land, but it is the everlasting paradise of God.
Okay.
Where all unceasingly glorious and beautiful things beyond our understanding exist.
Hallelujah.
Waiting for us. It is where the rivers of grace and power of the Holy Spirit flow from beneath the throne. Where you will rise to be with him, and you'll see him upon his throne. The eternal throne of God, our Father and the Lamb, who shed his blood for our redemption. Our hope is in a new Jerusalem, filled with the saints of all ages, filled with numerous angels. The land where the storms of life no longer rage. It is the eternal place of our home, which we have hoped for, from giving our lives to Jesus, and we became the children of God. And it is he who has put this hope in our hearts, to whom we will go, and to whom our hearts have longed for, and we will dwell with him forever and ever. And God, it says, will dwell amongst us. Hallelujah. He gets his desire of his heart fulfilled in us. Through his Son, his children forever. The promise that he made to us, I will never leave you, is fulfilled at this time. Grace. He has been with us in life. He will be with us in death. He will be with us at our resurrection and with us forever and ever. This is the hope. The blessed hope of the Christian that is placed within our hearts. That hope is Jesus himself.